I am joined now by Justin Williams, who has not been on the show in quite some time, but if you remember back to the mists of antiquity, there once was a thing called Tech Talk, and it was the original B segment, and he's back now. Hello, Justin.
Hello.
Originally, we had done Tech Talk because, aside from having a technology column that ran in the Courier and Press, which I believe still does.
As long as they keep paying me.
Right. You're also an app developer. And at the time we first started doing Tech Talk, you had your own company, Second Gear.
Right. So I ran my company, Second Gear, from the day after I graduated college, like right after I took my last final, I like packed everything up. And I filed my LLC forms and I started Second Gear. And I did that full time for 6 years and kind of jumped through a variety of things through different waves, like the web development wave of like web apps and things like that. Jumped on desktop building of apps for the Mac. And then once the mobile stuff came out, I jumped on iPhone and iPad development. And all of it was fun and all of it was intriguing, but I started to get this itch around this time, I guess, last year of I'd been doing my own thing for 6 years. It was relatively successful. I wasn't like starving or living paycheck to paycheck, but I also felt like I didn't really have that much of a challenge either. Like in a lot of ways, what I was doing had kind of plateaued. It hadn't really grown that much in the past couple years. It wasn't really falling off. It was just kind of like going through the motions, waking up every day, working on those apps and kind of just going towards the next day. And for someone like me who likes to do really kind of challenging and exciting things, I started to get bored and my eyes started to wander and I started looking around for other opportunities.
So what were you at the time kind of looking towards doing?
In my head, it was kind of like, I've never really had a quote unquote real job. I'd never left Indiana really beyond like a couple weeks at a time. I was nearing the point where I'm almost turning 30. I am in a couple days. And I was like, I don't want to get to the point where I'm going through my midlife crisis and I'm buying a Porsche and all these crazy things and then have this regret that I'm still in Indiana and I never did those crazy things that you're supposed to do in your youth. And so I decided to do those and I decided to pack up and move to California and just take a quote unquote real job at a startup. I started at a place called Hotel Tonight, which is basically a way for you to book a hotel room on this specific day using your mobile phone. It wasn't exactly the sexiest job in the world. It wasn't really that interesting. I liked the people that were there and I built their iPad app for them, which was, I'm actually really proud of that work, but it was also not the most exciting thing after a couple of weeks either.
What was your adjustment period like? You're going from basically being your own boss, working on your own schedule, to now you've got to, for lack of a better term, punch a clock.
Oh, the adjustment period. Oh, yeah. You know when you have a dog and you're not sure if they can swim or not, so you just throw them in the pool and you find out? I was sinking to the bottom. I'm designed to work for myself, it seems. And so having to kind of like work within people's schedules, having to go to meetings, having to basically do all the things that quote unquote everyone else does in their 9-to-5 jobs, that was a really big adjustment to me because I'm kind of always used to just, I get up at a certain time, I start working on my stuff. If I'm not feeling it that day, I just don't even bother. It's just like I do something else and then the next day my brain is wired again and I can go back and I can pull out like 15 hours or something straight. But when you have this regular job, it's one of those things where, all right, you have to show up every day at like 9 or 10 o'clock and you've got to stay there until like 7 or 8. Or since this is startup land, they really judge you if you don't stay till like 9 or 10. And that wore on me pretty quickly.
How long did you end up staying with Hotel Tonight?
My original plan after I shipped that iPad app is I knew I didn't want to be there long term. I knew if I was going to do this full-time job thing, having the stress and the strenuous nature of like the constant change of a startup wasn't my style. So my plan was to stay until the summer and then figure out something else. But I had a friend who was working at this place called Hipstamatic, and I had lunch with him one day and he said, hey, you should come and work at this place. It's great. We've got this really nice office. There's nothing like a startup. They don't have any investors. They made all of their money on their own on the App Store. Sane hours. It's a 9-to-5. They've got great benefits. I'm really happy here. You should come check it out. Now, at this point, I should point out that my friend is quite possibly one of the most negative human beings on the face of the earth. I love him to death, but he never says anything positive about anything. So the fact that he is saying that this place is great and he's really happy there, like my ears are like, really? And so I had some conversations with the Hipstamatic guys. It seemed like a really cool like place. I was really kind of interested in what they were working on. I'd never heard of the app before. I started playing with it and it got my mind racing about kind of what I could do to improve the app and change the app and what we could do in the future with it. And so I decided to make the jump.
So let's briefly have you describe what Hipstamatic is as an app.
If you know what Instagram is a quick way to take a square photo with a filter applied to it and then share it to your network of Instagram friends. Hipstamatic was there before Instagram. They were the first to do square photos and put filters on them. They don't have the social element. That's kind of where Instagram got really big and successful, is because after you take the photos, you have them on this network to share. They figured out how to do that really easily. Hipstamatic instead was tailored around, we're going to make it really great for you to create beautiful photos, and then you can share them to any other network out there. We don't have our own network, but we want you to share to any other one. And how they actually made money, unlike Instagram, which made money by being sold to Facebook, Hipstamatic made money by selling the app for $2 and then having the Hipstamart in the app itself, where you could buy additional lenses and films to give yourself different effects for like 99 cents at a time. So they had like a physical actual business model. They had money coming into the actual company, which is very rare, oddly enough, in Silicon Valley.
This sort of married a couple interests of yours, because on top of the app design side of things, you also are a hobbyist in photography.
Definitely. It was one of those things where I really like to take photos, and most of the time I am taking photos with my phone. I used to do it a lot more with like an SLR camera or something like that. But yeah, being able to basically work on a camera app all day and improve the app that I'm going to use to shoot my photos with now, that's awesome. Like I started using Hipstamatic once I started working there, just because it's kind of what you did. And I wouldn't have taken the job if I wasn't interested in the app. But yeah, it was like I went to Australia in the time that I was there to speak at a conference, and I took all of my photos using Hipstamatic. And I look back at those photos and they look really awesome. Like, those are effects that you can't necessarily get using Instagram or some other third-party camera app for your phone, or you necessarily couldn't even get them using a full like physical camera. So yeah, it was really interesting to kind of like mesh those two interests.
When you started working at Hipstamatic, what was the climate like there? How was it different from working at Hotels Tonight?
It was a lot more laid back. It seems like in startups, how those places tend to work is they are really keen on hiring people right out of college. These are the guys that are like super eager, they're super opinionated, and they just work nonstop. And I think what happens is at a certain point, 26 or 27, you get to the point where you're like, I can't work this much. I have other interests in my life. I'm getting married. I've got a family. I've got friends. I don't want to sit in front of the computer all day. And that's a lot of like what Hipstamatic was like. It was like people that were already married. They were all like late 20s, early 30s. And they just like, we came in, we worked. We didn't really have like hard set deadlines. It's just like, let's work on some cool stuff. When it's ready, it's ready. We didn't have any kind of like schedule of when we were doing. We didn't really have any sort of guidance on like what we were going to ship in each release. It's just kind of like, all right, well, what do you want to do this for this release? All right, we'll do this. What do you want to do? All right, we'll do this. And then we just kind of throw it out there. So it was very lax and like laid back. And that was really appealing to me. And it was a lot like a party. It was very, if you look at the office that they had, it was like a playground. Like, they'd renovated this building. It was entirely customly redone. They had this rooftop deck they had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on with like an outdoor bar. The actual workspace was like this really custom, beautifully made, like long wooden desk with like IMAX screens lining across it. So it was like you were going to work every day, but at the same time, it didn't feel like you were going to an office. And so that was great, because you didn't really think of it as going to work every day. You thought, I'm going to go hang out with my friends and we're going to build a camera app all day. This will be fun.
And this seems to be part and parcel with the theme of this sort of web startup. It always seems to create this vision of the big open air kind of office setup where people are riding bikes or, you know, things like that. It really seems to be lumped right in with those kind of things that, you know, people used to even talk about as far back as sort of the internet bubble.
Right. So take that general idea of like an open office and add into it, add into it an event space where you can host parties. Two, add into it a rooftop deck with a fully stocked bar and outdoor heaters and a retractable roof shade that was built by someone that was imported from Italy to actually build this thing. And then replace all of the like cheap IKEA furniture with stuff that was custom made by people from Europe as well. Like, they spared no expense on this building, because one, they wanted to have a really cool place to work at every day, and they didn't really like IKEA stuff and things like that. But two, they hosted a lot of parties there. And so in addition to just like having hipstamatic parties, there was parties there for Spotify. We had parties there for Refinery 29, which is a blog that's relatively known out in San Francisco. So it was kind of a mix of everything in this one space. So that was interesting. That was fun. It was, like I said, it didn't feel like you were going to work every day.
It has all these things, and people are being flown in to construct these things. Where is all this money coming from?
They're selling the app. When Hipstamatic first came out, it was voted the app of the year by the App Store in 2010. And that was like 2009, 2010 was the first year of the App Store. And so when they cashed in really big on that, because like I said, they sold the app for $2 at a time. So you get millions of people downloading that app. That obviously adds up. They're selling prints in the app itself, so you can like get physical prints. That's another source of revenue that's making them a good chunk of money. And then, like I said, they had the Hipstamart. So anytime they would put out a new lens and a new pack for like 99 cents, there's going to be a giant, like a pretty decent subset of those millions of users that are going to go ahead and buy that, because they just buy anything Hipstamatic offers, or they buy anything that looks really good and looks like they could build cool photos with it.
They were really making the in-app purchase model work.
If you look at any videos that Apple has where they tout their in-app purchasing system, one of the key like partners they mention always is Hipstamatic and how they have really harnessed the in-app purchase system on mobile to kind of take advantage of that and do it in a way that's not necessarily super gross. Like, I tend to always cringe when you see these games like the Smurfs game or something like that, where you, or like any Zynga game where you basically are paying more money to get Smurf berries or something like that. Like, that feels like it's playing on an addiction. At least in the case of like Hipstamatic and apps like that, you're buying something that is a like good that doesn't expire. It's something that's going to give you something tangible in a way, in that you buy this lens and you buy this film, you add it to your Hipsta pack, and then you can take photos and get a different effect that you couldn't before you gave them that 99 cents.
Definite difference then between your experience with Hotel Tonight and this one, where you seem to really be enjoying yourself. What ended up being the trajectory of Hipstamatic from when you showed up to when you eventually left?
So that was interesting. I showed up in early May. I was brought in to work on a completely new product, as well as do some work on the actual Hipstamatic app itself. And about a week and a half into my time there, they changed their mind. And they're like, we want to do an all new version of Hipstamatic. We've got this successful product, but we want to do something that can reach an entirely new audience. So we're not going to focus on the existing app. We're going to put all our resources into this new app. So we want you guys to go away for a couple of weeks and imagine what this new app will be like. It's like, okay, sure, whatever. So they throw us in a room and we basically spend a couple weeks sketching out ideas, tossing ideas out on a whiteboard, and basically building a pitch that we can then present to the co-founders and say, all right, this is what we envision the new app to be. If you've ever watched Mad Men and you've seen like a pitch that Don Draper does, this is exactly kind of what they wanted us to do, because these are guys that used to be in the ad industry and that's kind of what they know. They know how to do like pitching ad sales and things like that. So that's what we did for them. And basically my entire time that I was there, other than a couple of little updates to Hipstamatic, I spent a lot of time exploring ideas for what could be a new Hipstamatic. I spent several months working on a lot of social things that will probably never see the light of day, unfortunately, that at the time I thought were actually pretty cool if we could have pulled them off, but we just didn't have the resources and the guidance really wasn't there, because they had trouble deciding what the new quote-unquote Hipstamatic was going to be. They didn't know what it was going to be as much as I didn't know what it was going
to
be.
What were they hoping you were going to come up with? Were they literally hoping you would come back to them and say, here's what we want from A to Z, and this is a great idea, let's just go start it? Or were they really just looking for a couple ideas and one might spark?
I think it was a little bit of both. Like, they broke us into two teams of like the camera side and then the social side. And I was really focused on the social side. And kind of the pitch that they would give us was, we want to build the app that replaces Camera Plus, it replaces Instagram, it replaces all the 8 camera apps that you've got on your phone. And if you do software development, that's really hard to do, to replace like 8 apps, especially in a mobile environment. When you think about, you've got like 3.5 or 4 inches of space to work with, you can't really cram that much stuff into this app and then expect it to be something that people understand. That was kind of one of the things anyone that downloaded Hipstamatic, because I told them I worked there or they just used it in the past, they would say, this app has way too much stuff in it. It's really hard to use. I spent a lot of time fighting that. I was like, if we're doing a new app, we can't cram stuff in there. We can't focus on that. So it's like we put out these pitches of like what we wanted to work on for the quote unquote next Hipstamatic, and they were cool with that. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, no, we want to do something different. We're going to do this thing instead. All right, so let's focus on that. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, no, never mind. We're going to go and we're going to do this instead. Okay, well, all right. 2 weeks at a time, these keep adding up. And it's like after so many months, it's like we don't really have anything to show. And we've been messing with this for several months now. What's going on?
This couldn't have been any sort of issue that they had in the first place. I would assume these co-founders probably designed the initial app themselves.
Right, yeah. So the company started as two guys, and they basically, they did a lot of like contracting work with like advertising and a little bit of web design stuff as well. And then the story was they were running out of money then, and they kind of just saw the iPhone app store come out, and they thought, well, let's build an app. So they built Hipstamatic, and it blew up, and like, that's like this like great story of just like somebody creates something from nothing and it's a giant success and it brings them all their riches and whatnot. And that's really awesome. But I think the problem they ran into is like as they decided, they started this company in Wisconsin when they were there, and they decided, all right, we made all this money. Let's go to San Francisco. All right, we're in San Francisco. Everyone's growing here. Let's hire a team. Let's build this thing out even more. And I don't know this for sure, but my kind of assumption is I don't think they liked having employees necessarily. I think they were a lot more comfortable working with kind of the four or five people they had, and they had kept and moved out from Wisconsin to San Francisco. And so I think that's ultimately what ended up being our demise there.
If I sort of put you in their shoes for a minute and said you were in the same situation with Second Gear and you were trying to come out with a new version of Elements, but you had this staff, do you think you would have probably had the same reaction that they did to trying to let someone else come up with a new version of this thing that you made?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it was different. One of the co-founders was really easy at being hands-off and like kind of letting and like trusting what we wanted to do. The other one had what I would describe as like this like death grip on the product, and would just, it was really hard to get anything done because he just didn't want to let any of us do anything, or he didn't want to like pull stuff when he'd say, this, no one's using this feature. It's just, let's just get rid of it. It's like, it's not adding any value to anyone. It's just there and it's complicating things. And so yeah, in the case of like Second Gear, is like I struggle with a lot of the things they go through now anyway. It's like I constantly change my mind, and it's like it's a constant battle for me to say, all right, no, you've been working on this for a couple of weeks, you thought it was a good idea 3 weeks ago, it's almost done, just push it out there. If it's a bad idea, we'll figure it out afterwards. In a lot of ways, like as people were getting frustrated with the direction changing the entire time, I was getting frustrated, but at the same time I was like, I've done this before. It's like, it's nothing new to me. I was like, I kind of understand where they're coming from. Yes, it's frustrating because I want to like show work that I've actually done and I haven't been able to for several months, but I kind of get where they're coming from too.
You have the added difficulty then of, whereas if it's just you with Second Gear, you can throw out 2 weeks of work and it just affects you. They're throwing out maybe 2 weeks of work and it affects everybody that worked on that.
Right, yeah, and it affects their bank account because all of that work that we just did when they put like four or five people on and just throw it away, that's, software developers are paid relatively well, especially in San Francisco where salaries are insanely high. Like that's a lot of money they were just kind of wasting for several months just trying to figure out what they wanted to do with this new app that was going to be the next Hipstamatic and the next Instagram and the next Camera Plus all in one. And whether they were running out of money or they just didn't want to spend any more money on it, I don't know.
So what finally happened?
The week of August 13th, I guess, one of our guys had quit, and he basically quit because he was frustrated because we hadn't really put anything out. He was tired of the direction always changing. Morale was relatively low and through the entire team just because of that. And it's just, we felt like we didn't have control. We didn't feel like we were going in any sort of direction. All of us really wanted to work on the existing app because that's what made sense and what we saw as kind of the future of the thing. So this guy's just like, I'm done. I'm going to go home. I can find a job eventually, but right now I just want to take time off and chill out. And his last day was on a Tuesday. That Wednesday after, the co-founders were nowhere to be found. Like they just did not show up to work. And I go talk to the COO, the adult supervision, quote unquote. And I'm like, hey, where are these guys at? One of our guys just quit to go home. That's a really bad sign. And it's like, shouldn't they be here to kind of like give us a direction of like where we're going? It's like, the product's already like off rails because we don't have enough talent to do it. Two, we really don't have enough talent now because one guy had left. So like, what's going on? He's like, well, they're at outside meetings. They're trying to figure this out. We'll know more tomorrow. And so the next day I go into work at 8:30, and by 8:38, I'm being escorted out of the building by the adult supervision with my severance papers. So yeah, they decided to do a reduction, and the pitch was sales were down compared to where they were when we started. Like when I started, they were number 8 in the photography top photography apps in the App Store. The day that we were laid off, I looked and we were at 14. So that's still top 14 of photography. That's still making a pretty good chunk of change, I would imagine. But again, it's almost half of what it was before. And so when you couple that, plus they just didn't feel like they were making enough progress with the new app, they decided to just do a reset. And they got rid of 5 of us in total and kind of went back to the core group that they started with when they were in the Midwest.
And ultimately, that didn't spell the end for them. It's still an app that's available in the App Store. They're still a going concern, I assume.
Right, yeah. So that's one of the interesting things of, like, when they first laid us all off, our theory was that they had run out of money. Like, they're running out of money, they're bleeding money, and they're going to go out of business tomorrow. I'm not sure they were running out of money. I think they were bleeding cash with us, especially because sales were down. But I also think a lot of it was they just decided they wanted to go back to having the smaller team and kind of just get their bearings reset and say, all right, let's try to rebuild this thing. I think they'll be around for a little while. Whether they're going to be able to strike lightning twice and do another Hipstamatic, I don't know. In a lot of ways, Hipstamatic feels like it's a well-known brand, but the app itself needs a lot of work. And that's what I told them in my interview. It's like, this is a really cool app, but it's also really hard to use. If they can figure out how to like chart themselves through those waters, they can figure that out because people are still using it. If you look at the cover of Time Magazine this week with the Hurricane Sandy coverage, the photo on Time Magazine, the cover of Time Magazine this week was shot by Ben Lowy with Hipstamatic. So it's like people are still using the app and I'm assuming they're still bringing in money. It's just, unless they do some sort of change to like modernize the app and get more people into it, it's going to be a slow decline.
What was your initial reaction to having, from day one after college, run your own company to now having gone and gotten a real job and now you were being laid off?
Well, my first reaction is would get you an FCC violation. My second reaction was, well, I worked for myself for 6 years and I never got laid off. I've been going through the working for other people thing now for 8.5 months and I've burned through 2 jobs. I think I'm going to go back to doing what I did before. I think I'm really comfortable doing that. And that was also kind of relieving too, in that it's like, yeah, I was laid off and no money is coming in. And I'm like, holy crap, what am I going to do? I need a job. Luckily, I had Second Gear still there. It was still making money. It was still like, sales are down with my current products just because I hadn't updated them for several months. But like, the core of the company was there. I had the experience of 6 years of running my own business. So I kind of just fell back into it pretty easily because it's like riding a bike. You don't forget how to do it. And so I picked that back up, working on my existing products. I raced and got a new app out that I had kind of been tinkering with for a couple of weeks just in my spare time. And then I started doing more contract work. So yeah, I decided that employment wasn't necessarily for me. I'm going to go back to doing my own thing, which in turn meant San Francisco wasn't necessarily for me because I didn't want to spend nearly $3,000 a month on rent when I'm not actually working in the city of San Francisco.
What have you ultimately learned from sort of your experiment working for others in the app development world after for so long working for yourself?
Lessons learned is, one, I'm not really wired to work for other people. I think, I don't want to say I necessarily have a problem with authority, but I have very strong opinions and I have a vision of like what I want to do and what direction I want to take it. And it's really hard for me to kind of like let go of that control and like trust others to kind of take things in that direction. And I don't think that I'm unique in that way either. I think there's people that are completely comfortable having like steady jobs with like health insurance and like a 9-to-5, and they know that the paycheck is going to come in every month. That I wasn't comfortable in that way. I'm more comfortable in chaos. I like kind of not knowing if I'm going to make as much money next month as I did the previous month and not knowing what's going to happen 6 months from now. I'm glad that I got it out of my system in terms of like trying the other way. I did enjoy having health insurance. That was nice to have. But other than that, it's just like, yeah, I like doing my own thing and I like not knowing what's going to happen next.
What did it show you about the world of sort of app development that maybe you hadn't known before?
It didn't really show me anything that I didn't already know, but it definitely asserted some assumptions that I had in terms of, like, in San Francisco, there's a lot of people building a lot of really amazing things. And there's two things I noticed out there. One is that there is a lot of brain power that is being wasted right now on people trying to figure out how to show you more advertisements, and two, how to sell you more Smurfberries. And that's really frustrating to me, because these are, like, some of the greatest minds in our world trying to figure out advertising and consumption-based social gaming. That seems like a really big waste to me. And number two is, like, there are people building things that are making people's lives better. As much fun as people make of things like Instagram and Facebook, I think those do make people's lives better because we're all more connected for it. But when you look at things like Instagram or Facebook, then there's these other just dopey things that you're like, how did they get funding for this? Why would anyone give anyone even $100,000 to, like, experiment with this idea? And the people that are building these things, they'll be so dead set on that idea, and they'll just try to, like, sell it as, like, the greatest thing ever. And you'll just sit there and you'll just roll your eyes as they're, like, trying to say that the work they're doing is, like, the most important thing in the world, and they're going to tell their grandchildren about it someday because it's going to be so important. It's like, no, you're building something that doesn't matter. It's just, in 5 years, it's not going to be here, and no one's going to remember it. The only reason people remember pets.com is because of that sock monkey. Like, other than that, no one really remembers things like that.
Justin Williams, thank you very much for coming in, updating us on where you've been low these many months, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. If you know anyone that needs to have stuff built, call me.